Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We've been talking about a new normal, and I want to talk to you tonight about steps to a new normal. Because now we've been going about a month, and we've been thinking about what God would want to do in our life. And God, no doubt, has been speaking to your heart about certain things. He's been maybe igniting dreams in your heart, or maybe bringing back to your mind things that long ago he talked to you about that he wants to do in your life. And certainly I think for all of us, a new normal includes a new freedom in our walk with the Lord, a new vitality spiritually speaking, that a new normal also includes fruitfulness, maybe a breakthrough, could be a level of victory that has eluded you to this point. And the question is, how do we walk into that and what do we do? And I think one of the mistakes that we can make is we can think, well, if it's gonna happen, God's gonna have to do it. And to be sure, God wants to work in our life and God will work in our life. But God does it in partnership with us. God wants to teach us. God wants to show us some things. God wants to strengthen us. And so it's God who works in us. In Philippians, we're going to see this in chapter 2. God works in us. Paul says, for it is God who is at work in you. Then he says this, now work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Is it God or is it us? It's both. And so tonight what I want to do is I want to direct our attention to a story in Mark chapter 10. And it's the story of a blind man who was healed by the Lord Jesus. It's a great story. And as we look at it, a familiar story, there are five things I want you to notice, five steps that this individual by the name of Bartimaeus is going to have to do in order to enter a new normal. The first thing is this, he assumed he had a part to play. He didn't think, well, if God doesn't do it, it's not gonna happen. There is a truth to the fact God has to work, but there is also our responsibility, our partnership, our cooperation with what God wants to do in our life. You look at it in verse 47 of Mark 10, and when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. That's an interesting, phrase rather than saying, Jesus, heal me. He says, Jesus, have mercy on me. What is mercy? Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. Grace is when he gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy's when he doesn't give us what we did deserve, i.e. judgment. So maybe what is happening in Bartimaeus is he's not feeling like he deserves anything. He's maybe, who knows what all has happened in his life up to this point. He maybe doesn't feel like he's worthy. You know, there's a lot of people who never receive from God. And part of it is they spend so much time trying to process through, well, do I deserve it? Or I really don't deserve it. And I don't feel worthy. And I don't feel like... And they spend so much time thinking about their unworthiness or about the things they've done wrong in their life that they don't focus on the God who wants to do good in their life. So here he is, he's heard Jesus is coming through the area and he cries out, look at it, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Listen, Jesus is in this place and a part of it is just crying out and asking God to do what only he can do. So there's this fervency, there's this sense of calling out to Jesus, not doesn't care what anybody else thinks, doesn't care what anybody else is gonna say. I'm not talking about him being rude, I'm talking about him being desperate. Yeah. Good. He's saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, help me, is essentially what he's doing. But he assumes that he has a responsibility. He's not just saying, well, you know what? If Jesus sees me sitting here in this crowd, I'm going to get healed. But if he doesn't, then I guess it wasn't my day. And a lot of times people have that laissez-faire kind of, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And there comes a point where you and I have to own the responsibility to press in with fervency, press in with the desire that says, Jesus, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to holler out until I receive from you what I need. Yeah. So second thing, he doesn't wait for the ideal circumstances. I mean, he's not waiting for everything to be just so. If you and I are going to walk into a new normal, one of the things we can't do is we can't worry about what circumstance is going to be the best. We really have to be sensitive to the presence of the Lord, and when God says go, we go. It's good. So windows of opportunity are called that for a reason. There's a time when the window closes. It's a time when you have the opportunity to move into a season or a time. And that it's critical that we do that. But a lot of times what happens is people are like, well, you know, I would really like this, or I'd like that, or this the circumstance isn't quite right, or I'm not sure I'm really ready. You know what? Be ready. Live ready. And when you sense the Lord moving, don't overthink. You know, what God's going to do, how God's going to work, how this is going to happen. If it's, when I look back on you know, just especially decisions Debbie and I have made and with the church, there's times you just sense this is what you need to do, and you do it. And people on the outside might say, well, that was ill-advised, or you didn't take much time to think about that. I think of like the Yes Lord, or not the Yes Lord, I'm really dating myself. I'm thinking about the Welcome to the Future campaign. You know, Kurt and I are talking in July in his office, and Kurt is our chief operations officer. So we're talking about Joplin, and we're talking about what needs to happen here, and we've got the preliminary bids. And as we look at it, I say, you know what, I just feel strongly. So as we're in the office, mid-July, I just feel strongly we should not go into debt anymore. I just feel strongly, and we need to raise this money. And Kurt's like, well, that sounds great. And so, you know, I asked him, I said, well, what do you think we can raise? And he's like, will you tell me what you think we can raise? And so we're kind of batting that around. And I said, you know what, let's just do this thing. So from the time we said, we're going to do this, to the time that we presented the request to you was, you know, we started with the dessert fellowships within a matter of 10 days. And within a matter of 5 weeks, we had shared it with the congregation and people were making commitments. Yeah. Now you say, well, so that's how that works. Well, no, if you talk to fundraisers, everybody will say you spend like months, maybe a year laying the groundwork, doing all this to do what we were wanting to do. But there's times when you know the Lord, you sense the Lord is doing something, and it's time to move. Yeah. Yeah. You can't wait for the ideal circumstance. You can't say, well, you know, we're going to wait till this, or we're going to wait till that. There, when it's right, and, you know, I mean, I think of when we built the West Campus, and when it was time to raise money for that, I had people, a lot of people said, you know, the economy's terrible. I would never do what you're doing right now. But you pray about it. If you feel it's right, you should do it. You know, there's a time when it's right. When it's right, move forward in it. When you feel God speaking to your heart, step out into it. Don't sit and overthink it and wait and say, I don't know. And before you know it, the opportunity is gone. Here's Bartimaeus. He didn't wait for the ideal circumstances. Look at it in verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. So that word for crowd could be understood as a parade. There's like this parade of people. So Jesus is leaving town, and as he's leaving town, there's a parade. Bartimaeus is blind. Bartimaeus doesn't have anybody helping him. We know that because if they were helping him, they'd have gotten him into position. He's alone. He could say, you know what? Now's not the time for a blind beggar to be making his move. I need to wait till I can get Jesus alone. I would rather talk to him one-on-one. He won't be able to know where I'm coming from. He won't be able to understand what I need. I need this and I need that. And sometimes we're like, God, I need it like this and I need it like that. And God, I would like you to do it this way. And we have it all drawn out for what we want. And we're waiting for that ideal circumstance. Bartimaeus is like, he's there, I'm here. Lord, help me! He's not waiting at all. He's jumping into it. Yeah. You know, if you're waiting for the ideal circumstance, you could wait a long, long time. The writer of Ecclesiastes puts it this way. He says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. You can, you know, if you're just sitting there as a farmer, I grew up on a farm and watching my, if my dad would have said, well, you know, the weather forecast says, well, you know, the weather people do the best they can. But we were supposed to get a bunch of snow. And all I'm seeing is grass, gray grass out there, which is fine. I'm feeling like God answered my prayer. But I know there's people that like snow. But you know, if you're gonna watch a weather forecast and plan your whole life around that, you're gonna have a lot of days where you're disappointed. You're gonna have a lot of days where you're not gonna do something you could have done, or you're gonna do something you shouldn't have. I mean, it's just how life works. And what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying is, you gotta get in there and do it. You can't just wait on ideal circumstances because they may or may not come. Number three, if you want a new normal, you can't worry about what others will think or say. You can't worry about what others will think or say. Look at it in Mark chapter 10 and verse 47. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Hey, will you be quiet? Keep it down. I mean, the crowd is telling him, don't do what you're doing. You know, oftentimes the crowd is wrong. And I mean, sometimes if we're not careful, one of the things we want to do is learn to listen to the Lord. And he speaks in a variety of ways, and he doesn't speak the same way ever. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of, and this is the value of being in the presence of the Lord. If you'll start your day in the presence of the Lord, you'll find that God will direct your steps in a way without you even being aware that it's happening at the time, only to look back and to say, wow, that was a divine appointment. I didn't plan on going there, but I ended up going there, and I met this person, and God worked through that conversation. That was a divine appointment. God was working. God was using me to contact somebody, to call somebody. You know, when you start your day by saying, I want to be sensitive to the Lord, you'll find the Lord will lead you. But if you're listening to other voices all the time, and that's what you're filling your heart, your mind with, and there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel, but you need to make sure it's godly counsel. And godly counsel is always going to tell you, listen to the Lord, learn to listen to him. And my experience has been oftentimes, I mean, does God speak to my heart? Certainly. But when I look at my life, as a general rule, it's the steps of a righteous person are ordered to the Lord. Yeah. That's the way God guides. It's not like, hey, turn there, go there. Can he do that? Certainly he can. But rather than that, it's being in the presence of the Lord, getting my heart sensitive to him as I start my day, and then I move into the day, and I find the Lord guiding me in the places where I go, the people I see, the interactions I have, or people that I would contact. Yeah. I mean, for example, I was just thinking, because this week has just been filled with so many of those kind of interactions. As a former staff member from James River, and I just, because of, you know, the Super Bowl, I thought, because he's a big 49er fan. So I said, hey, I'll bet you're, you know, really excited about this, and just texted him and interacted with him, he texts back and says, "You know, I am, but I'm really very sick." And he goes on to tell me that, I mean, he is very ill. I had no idea. So we interact a little bit. I pray for him. And he said this in his text back to me. He said, "You know what? For the first time in months, I feel like I have hope." Well, you think about that. That's a divine appointment. And God wants to use us in ways like that all the time, to encourage people, to help people. So here he is, and many rebuked him, but he cried out all the more. He wasn't going to listen to the crowd. He was going to do what he knew he had to do. At that point, God is moving him forward to receive what God wants to do in his life. Number four, don't be afraid to step out boldly and believe God. Now look at it in verse 49. "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, he's calling you.'" So all of a sudden the crowd is like, "Oh wow, Jesus is taking note of him." But Jesus says, "Call him." And the crowd says, "Be encouraged, he's calling you." Can I just tell you this? Jesus is calling to you right now. I believe with all of my heart, as we're talking about a new normal, that there's things God's speaking to your heart about that he wants to do. I think for some it's dreams that you've let die. I think for others it's you felt God was gonna use you in certain ways or do certain things, but it hasn't happened, and you've kind of given up. Or your enthusiasm or your has waned, or your faith to believe it, you're like, I don't know. And you've lost some of that intensity, some of that fervency, some of that weight of grace on your praying for it, because honestly, truth be told, you're wearing thin. And that's understandable, but you need to take heart. Jesus is calling to you. There are some, and he's calling to you, and part of what he's saying is, "I want to take you somewhere you've never been, but to do that, I need you to let go of some things that are not helping you. Maybe not bad things. Maybe just things that are in the way." You know, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us lay aside, you know, the things, the weights that encumber us and the sin that so easily besets us." So for some people, you have a besetting sin. There is a sin in your life that even as I say it, you know, that's where you struggle. And the Lord is wanting, as a new normal, to move you where you're free of that, where you're out of that. And so whatever that is, and maybe that will require you to take some steps you've never taken before. It might mean you need to get in living free. It might mean that you need to go back and clean up some relationships. It might mean that there are just habits you've developed that are not spiritually enriching your life. They're not necessarily sin. They're just not building your life. And God may say, "You know what? I want you to use your time differently. I want you to stop." It might be, "Hey, I want you to stop vegging out in front of the TV. I want you to do something with your son, with your daughter. I want you and your wife to take that time and to talk to one another. I want you to stop parking there and get active in some ways, whether it's serving in the church or getting involved in something," but you would know what it is. It might be what you fill your mind with, what you allow yourself to think on. It's not necessarily sinful. It's just it consumes you more than it should. And so God is saying, "Hey, you know what? Let go of it. Jesus is calling you, and you know that he's speaking to you." Look at it in verse 50. "And throwing off his cloak," the cloak would be the beggar's cloak, which would mark him to people as an official beggar. As somebody, rather than wondering, "I wonder who this guy is and if we should give him anything," they could look at him and they could see, "You know what? This is a person who needs my help, who needs the alms I'm going to give him, the offerings I'm going to give him, the money that I'm going to give to him so that he can live. But what he does is he throws that off. It's as if he's saying, I don't need this anymore. That's not where I'm going to be anymore. I'm going to move. Has Jesus healed him yet? No. But he, by faith, is saying, I'm going to live in a new normal. I'm going to have a different kind of life. I think in this moment, especially in this season in the life of the church, because you can sense God is working a new normal in the life of the church. You can just see it. You could see it at the women's, the Design Sisterhood night. You can feel it on Sundays. I mean, just this month, we've had 206 people who have been saved and 216 have been baptized. That's really an amazing start. I mean, a whole family came forward in one of the services, I think the second service. It was just so, and the person who they came to watch him get baptized, and so that person was newly saved, and they invited their family, and the whole family gets saved. It's amazing. Well, in verse 51, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Have you told the Lord, I mean, if Jesus is asking, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. It's very interesting. Not Jesus' faith, though Jesus would have lots of faith. Not the disciples' faith. Not this man's friend's faith. There are examples where other people's faith. But Jesus said, your faith has made you well. So here's a man who says, Jesus, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus says, Your faith has made you well. Number five, once you start a new normal, keep walking in it. Once you start a new normal, keep walking in it. You know, if God gives you victory, keep walking in that victory. Don't go back. Don't default to old habits. Don't let that besetting sin rise back up. Once God sets you free, walk in freedom. Look at this in verse 52. And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him on the way. Here's what's interesting. He followed him. He never, ever stopped following Jesus. You say, how do we know that? Because Mark is writing his gospel probably as Peter is dictating it to him in Rome. So now we're talking 30 years have passed. Maybe 35 years. And as they're dictating this, and Peter says, yeah, you remember, you know, let me tell you a story about a beggar. And you know who that beggar is? Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, everybody like, oh, Bartimaeus, we know you. So he names him because the people to whom the book is initially written know him. The early church knows him. The church at Rome knows him. And they're like, well, there he is. There's the guy. So he started following Jesus on that road out of Jericho, and he never stopped following him. He kept going. He kept going. Listen, God has got a new normal, but if it's going to be a new normal, it's got to become normal for the rest of your life. I mean, it's a new normal. It's a new season. It's a new thing God wants to do. And whatever it is that he's putting in your heart right now, as he's stirring faith in your heart, believe that he's going to do it. Let me go back to just one scripture, Mark 11, Mark chapter 11. Jesus said this, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Now, this is a very interesting verse. So then he talks about prayer, but here, this isn't prayer, this is speaking faith. So you pray and you believe, but when you believe that you've received, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours. When you pray, do you believe God's going to do it? And if you do, you will talk like it's done. But if you're not going to talk like it's done, it's probably not going to happen. I'm just saying this, whatever it is God's speaking to your heart, pray, believe you've received it, but then speak words of faith. If necessary, command it to be done. You know, whatever it is that you're, whatever mountain it is you're facing, in the name of Jesus, and declare what it is that you've asked him to do as a reality. Declare it, say, this is what God has put in my heart, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I spoke. That's what Paul says. Whatever you believe, say it. Declare it. Don't walk out of here and say, well, you know, I hope it happens. Say, you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You say, well, what if I come forward and it doesn't happen tonight? You know what? Rather than worrying about what did or didn't happen, walk out of here and say, you know what? I can't wait to see when it happens. Live with that anticipation and says, I can't wait to watch it. I mean, I believe it's going to happen. And then I think there are sometimes it's so real in your spirit, you just simply say it. You know, be healed in the name of Jesus. Body, be whole in Jesus' name. House, be sold in Jesus' name. Relationship, be healed in Jesus' name. Where you command the circumstance and the situation. I think there's times God makes it so real to you that in faith, you speak with faith and give the command that releases the power of God in your situation. Just some things to pray about and consider. But tonight, as we're here in the presence of the Lord, I believe Jesus is passing this way. I believe Jesus is coming through this place. And Jesus wants to meet you at the place where you're at to take you to a new normal. And he's calling your name. So will you reach out to him and just say, Jesus, here I am, and this is what I need. We're going to open the altars right now. You come in and do that. We're going to spend some time seeking the Lord, and then we're going to worship him and we'll close.